I read a story this week of a man who was seeking to have somebody paint a picture of what peace is. And he looked and looked and couldn't find any great pictures. So he issued this contest, and all kinds of artists took bid on it and said, hey, we'll do that. And so they painted all these pictures, and the day of the unveiling had finally come, and several of these artists gathered in this house, wherever it was. And so one by one by one, they began to unveil all these paintings. And there was oohs and ahs, and you know, that must be the winner, that must be the winner, but it wasn't the winner. And it finally dwindled down to only having two paintings left. And so they knew it would either be this painting or this painting would be the winner of this contest. The first painting was unveiled, and ooh, ah, you know how it is, right? We'd all do that together right now, right? Oh, you wouldn't do it. All right. And there was a beautiful picture of this glassy lake, a soft blush of an evening sky. Don't you like that? I didn't write that, I'm quoting it. A soft blush of an evening sky. Sheep on this green pasture, just very peacefully grazing. Surely this is the winner, right? This is the winner. People are going, oh, this has to be it. But then they unveil the next picture. And here is this painting of this waterfall coming over these ragged cliffs. And you could almost feel the cold spray of the water in your face. And the sky was dark and cloudy. And people are going, this can't be peace. But as you look closely at this painting, shooting out from the ragged edges is this spindly tree. I had to look up spindly. I'm spindly, right? Long and skinny, all right? There you go. In fact, my wife always says, boy, I love you, Mr. Spindly. No, she doesn't. There's this tree coming out. And at the elbow of one of the branches is a little nest. And Mama Bird's just sitting in the nest, right over the torrential pouring down of the waterfall. And the potential lightning and wind and the rain and all of this stormy scene. Here is this little tiny bird over its precious little baby eggs. You know who won? That picture won. Because that is truly the picture of peace. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the tumultuous situation, here was a little bitty creature who was so powerless compared to all that was around it, eyes closed over its babies, just, I'm not sure if birds snore, but if somebody's snoring, they're usually out, right? Peace. When John the Baptist was prophesied of coming, Luke 1:79 says he's going to speak of Jesus to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I want to ask you this morning, do you live in the way of peace? What'd you walk in here with today? I know you, and I know some of you have walked in with some deep burdens, amen? Maybe all of us. When the shepherds saw the glorious angel and the angels in the sky, Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, what? Peace. In fact, the correct Greek rendering of that is, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Because the only ones that have peace is those for whom he is pleased. So Jesus coming, as we call it Christmas, came, all the things that we have seen in this series, came to give peace. And I might have shared this, but several months ago I was at the jail, and I asked the men inside the jail, why do you drink? Because many of them are there because of drugs and drinking and meth. Almost, I don't know what the percentage of them are there for that. Several of them are there. So I just asked them, guys, tell me, why do you do that? Why do you do that? And one after another, almost simultaneously said, their answer was, we do this to forget and to escape. To forget and to escape. So then I boldly asked them the next question. Now listen, I'm in front of murderers, and well, not all murderers, but some of them are. In fact, I've met some murderers in our jail. So I boldly said, Did it work? You know what their answer was? No. Honestly. They honestly said, no, it didn't work. I said, was the pain and the trouble still there when you came off the high? It was still there. It did not work. I submit to you today that I think everybody wants peace. Don't you? I just want peace. Peace. When peace like a river tends my way. I love that part, don't you? How about when sorrows like sea billows roll? It is well. It is well with my soul. Can I ask you today, is that you? Is that me? You know, I'm getting better at it, but I have not arrived. You know when I'm going to arrive? When you're at my funeral singing, praise the Lord, right? Well, maybe not, because, you know. I haven't mastered this. But Jesus was sent so we could have peace. But how many times do we search for peace in that big screen TV? And I'll beat your head in to get it, right? Just go online and order the thing. Right? So we seek peace in winning the game. We seek peace in getting that thing. But Jesus is the peace. And the context of John chapter 14 is the same as we did in John 17, is that Jesus is burdened for his followers because he is ready to leave. He is going to go back home to his Father. He is going to leave them with his work, the gospel. And he is preparing them to carry on his work. It's not just a peace to feel good in life. It is a peace to be serving Jesus when the enemy's attacking. That's what he's trying to tell these people. In other words, my disciples, I'm teaching you about prayer. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. All those things that are in John 13, 14, 15, 16 before his prayer in chapter 17. But over and over, Jesus tells them, I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. I'm going back to my Father. I will not physically, personally be with you anymore. You better listen to me if you want to have my peace. And so just a few days earlier, remember the triumphal entry? When all the people got their palm leaves and they're laying him down and Jesus is coming on the donkey. And we thought, man, this is awesome. But you know what most of them wanted? The earthly kingdom. Defeat Rome, set up the earthly kingdom. So this has just happened, and Jesus tells them in John 14, verse number 19, look at that. A little while, and the world will see me no more. But, look at the contrast. You, my disciples here, will see me, because I live, you'll live. They didn't have a clue what he's talking about. But he keeps teaching them, because one day they're going to get it. So you see the contrast there. So if you glance down to verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, Judas Thaddeus said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us, but not to the world? He couldn't get it. Because just a couple days earlier, whenever it was, it seems like the whole nation is just saying, Hosanna, son of David, save us, save us. That's what Hosanna means. Wow, this is awesome. But Jesus says, hold it, guys. The world's not going to know me or see me. But I'm going to reveal myself just to you. But wait a minute, what about the crowd? What about setting up your kingdom here on earth? And over, Jesus says, I did not come to set up my kingdom on earth yet. And they just could not get it. So then Jesus, in fact, glance at verse 27. He says to them, and we'll kind of go back and get all this. I'm leaving. I'm going to reveal myself to you. Peace, I'm going to leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And so now we want to figure out, in fact, I think, glance to verse or chapter 16, verse 33. Before Jesus prays, he says this, I have said these things to you. Okay, he's telling us now why he said chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. I have said all these things to you that in me you may have what? Peace. And we'll talk about the rest of that in a minute. I'm leaving. I'm going to pray for you, chapter 17. But I said all these things so that you can march ahead in Satan's world and have peace that you are doing what is right. That's the context. It's not just a peace so I can feel good. It's not just a piece that I can, you know, be at peace when Alabama loses such a heartbreaking game and I was for them. Sorry, Pat. It's a peace to serve. So let's look at this. First of all, peace comes from loving Jesus. Peace comes from loving Jesus. Really? Look at verse 22. Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Here's Jesus' answer. If anyone wears the right kind of clothes, combs their hair just perfectly, has church at the exact hour you're supposed to have it, and we could add all kinds of man-made rules, couldn't we? If you love me, you'll keep my word, and my Father will love you. We will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who, what? Sent me. There it is again. Sent me. Sent me. So peace comes from loving Jesus. They couldn't grasp it. Their mind was stuck on an earthly kingdom. I'm going to be big dog in the earthly kingdom. That's not what Jesus was saying. I want you to love me. That's where peace comes from. Remember, he said all these things to have peace. They couldn't grasp a beating, a cross, a death, a resurrection. And Jesus told them over and over, and they'd be walking going, what does that mean, death? What does that mean? They just couldn't get it. They had no idea. And what Jesus is saying here in verse 23 is to answer his question, how will you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? It is a love relationship. Notice this. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We, the Father and I, Jesus says, make our home with him. What? What a great thing. Jesus says, my Father and I, and I think you can add the Holy Spirit also because he's talked about that earlier in this chapter, we're going to come and make our home. Now, glance back to verse 18. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphanos, orphans. I am not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you, verse 23, make our home with you. So I tied put a big line between orphans and home. I'm not going to leave you alone as you serve me. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I am going to make my home with you. My Father is going to, the Spirit is going to, but it's for those who love me. I've shared this story before, but some of you know the testimony of a lady named Dory Van Stone, who was an orphan. Her mother gave her up. It is a horrendous story. It is unbelievable. Any teenagers here, you think you got it tough because you got to do the dishes or something? Boy, you ought to rejoice. She was abandoned at a young age. And in these orphanages where she went, there did not go one night where she was not beaten. She also was molested. She was treated like garbage and like dirt. And then when she finally got a foster parent, they treated her like garbage. She was allowed to take one bath a week, and that was after all the other kids dirtied up the water. She was able to eat only the leftovers of the food. She said once they had fish, and so they cut off the fish heads, and they said, you get the fish heads, but you go to your room, we'll eat first. So she had to come out and put the fish heads in boiling water and eat the fish heads. Can you eat fish heads? I guess you can. And it's just a horrible, horrible thing. She described that as the adults would come to pick babies in the orphanage, they would line them all up. And they would not comb her hair. And her hair was matted and they would like cut it. She said she just looked horrendous. And no one ever wanted her. Most of the time you want what? A baby. And there she is. I forget how old. I don't, 8, 9, I'm not sure exactly. And she said this about herself. She believed she was too ugly to be loved. Nobody wants me. Because orphans are totally dependent on others, right? They're totally dependent on everybody else. Finally, a college singing group came, and they all gathered. They gathered the orphans all in this big room like this, and the college group got done singing. And as they were leaving out, one of the young ladies in the singing group came back and saw this dirty, stinking, hair matted thing and handed her a little Bible and said three words, God loves you. Ooh, Huh, that's right here, isn't it? And she said for the first time, or she thought, what? God loves me? And that began her on a road of change. Now, why bring that up? Look at verse 18. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I'm not going to leave you unprotected and uncared for and beaten. And even when we are beaten, if we're with him, that's a good thing. I am going to make my home with you. You come into my home. Now catch this. Guess what, class? We are too ugly to be loved, right? No? You deserve the love of deity? We are too ugly to be loved. But God loved us first, right? We love him because he first loved us. And Jesus is talking about a love relationship here. How sad it is we turn our walk with God into a bunch of rules and regulations that God never wrote, right? And it's just do, rather than, I just love you. I just love you. God says, you don't want anything from me? I just love you. Anybody arrived at that yet? Boy, I'd like to. How about you? I would really like to arrive there. See, peace comes from loving Jesus and knowing that Jesus, the Father and the Spirit, has come and made his home in you. And I love this word for home. It's not the normal word oikos. It's another word which has to do with abiding. It is an eternal, abiding dwelling place. He comes and doesn't leave us orphans, but he lives within us. I love how one author wrote this. It's as if Judas said this, how come, Lord, you haven't taken over the world yet? Why don't you just manifest yourself to the world? And Jesus' answer meant this, I'm not going to take over the world externally. I'm going to take over hearts one at a time. Right? One at a time. God's kingdom is not eating and drinking, Paul said. It is love and joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. I just love that. I have come, Judas Thaddeus. I'm going to take over hearts one at a time. I'm going to grab Luana's heart and save her and change her and Phyllis's heart and Rhonda's heart and Miss Andy's heart. And that guy who stands behind the pulpit who has not arrived yet, one at a time. I've not come to set up a kingdom yet where we just defeat everybody. I want to change people and I want you to love me. And if you'll love me, I will come and love you and make our home. I want to tell you something. If you know God, Father, Son, Spirit is in you in that mysterious, powerful way, you are at peace, right? When the worst and hardest things in your life occur and you know that you have the love of God and you love him, you're at peace. You're at peace. Because the kingdom of God, the Prince of Peace is in our heart. That's peace. Peace. And it's given to individuals who love him. Second thing, peace comes by learning from Jesus. Don't you love to learn? Right? Don't you love it? Don't you feel so awesome when we introduce a new song and you're sitting there going, I can't sing that. I don't know that. I'm not very good at music. And you're just flustered because, man, listen, I've been there. I know that's what some of you are thinking, right? We're human. And that's okay. Do you think the Israelites, when they introduced new psalms in the Old Testament, said, Moses, what is this? We've never sung this before. Yasha, whatever they sang in Jewish, you know? I mean, how'd I get off on that? Oh, learning. Learning's awesome. I love it come Monday when I'm studying the passage and I go, Lord, what does this mean? And then come Tuesday or Monday is Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Why couldn't I just see that by reading it? Because you study. You learn and you grow. Peace comes from learning from Jesus. Now notice, he's talking to these disciples. He's getting ready to leave. Look at verse 25. These things I have spoken to you, here it is again, while I'm still with you. I'm teaching. I'm speaking. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16 of John. The upper room discourse. But the helper, the paraclete, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name as my representative, He will, there's our word, teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. Okay, here it is. I'm teaching you all these things. You're not getting it. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you teacherless. The Holy Spirit is coming in my name as my representative. He is going to A, teach you, and B, remind you of everything I've just taught you and while I've been with you for 3 years. How do you think they wrote the New Testament? Right? How many of you forget things? You forgot things? That's really bad. I'm going to teach you. So peace comes from learning. And again, if you go to that verse 33, but kind of wraps it all up. I have said these things, taught you these things, that in me you may have peace. Peace. That's why I'm teaching you. There is something about knowing God's truth, Jesus' words. There's something about knowing when you head out into an evil world and it's against you, that you're in the right path. That God is with you. God's blessing you. This is the best place to be. John 17 says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Set them apart by truth. So peace comes from learning from Jesus. So what Jesus is saying is, if you're going to have peace and serve me and go out into Satan's world under God's sovereignty, you must know my words and you must learn them. You're going to carry my gospel to the world. You're going to be thrown in prison. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be martyred. Some of you are going to be burned in oil. Some of you are going to be hung upside down and killed for me. You better know my words. My words. I love Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Listen to this. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is straying away from you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. The Lord our God is a little pebble. You know, I see Christians, and I'm one of them sometimes, that we act like God is a little pebble in our fish tank. Right? Do you? You ever worry? You ever fret? On Christ the solid pebble I stand. Right? I'm guilty. Are you guilty? He's the rock. Isaiah says, he is not only a rock, but he never quits being a big, huge cliff, a rock. And I love this verse to Israel. And it's kind of looking forward to future times, but it's so applicable to them then and to us today. You keep, you guard, you protect, you watch over. Who? You keep and guard those in perfect peace. In the Hebrew, it just says peace, peace. Peace, peace. He repeats the word twice. In other words, it's a deep, deep peace. I shared back here when we were, you know, praying this morning for the service that, I mean, I knew there'd be several traveling and several gone and several sick, and I'm just bugged about that. Lord, this is such an awesome passage, and some aren't going to be here. And I'm not at peace. And I stopped and I went, you doofus. Here you are preaching about peace, and you're sitting there driving in the car, all bugged out. Is that right? Bugged out? Weird? Stupid? And I say, Lord, you put up with me, right? He said, Timmy, that's okay. No, I didn't hear anything. He will guard you in peace, peace, deep peace. If your mind is what? Stayed on your problems. I heard some very popular preacher once say, if you're a worrier, you spend 15 minutes a day just worrying. Pick a time. All right, from 2:45 to 3 p.m., I'm just going to go in my office or my bathroom or my bedroom. I'm just going to worry for 15 minutes. He said, just get it out of your system. It'll help. You know what that preacher was saying? Go sin for 15 minutes. Right? Right? Be anxious for nothing. Just go sin for 15 minutes and God will bless you. Well, I like that, right? Whose mind is stayed on you. And that Hebrew word for stayed means to lean on, to rest, to be supported. Why? Because you trust. One Hebrew scholar said that word means to hang on to God and be thoroughly devoted to Him. secure stability and peace, to hang on to God. Isn't that neat? Just hang on to God. Just hang on. You ever pick up your kids or your grandkids when they were pick-upable? You know, once they get to a certain age, don't try it, because you'll be in the hospital. You know, you pick them up and they just what? They just hang on. They're hanging me on. They're hanging on me. Just hang on to God. And Jesus is saying, I will teach you my words through the Holy Spirit. Keep your mind stayed on those. That's my very breath. You're going to go out when I'm gone and serve me and carry the gospel and start churches. And you're going to be hated and attacked. You need my words. How many of us are lacking peace in the storm because we put our mind on everything but the words of Jesus? You know? And over the years, I've watched multiple people who get into storms. You know what they do? They leave Jesus. They leave the Bible. They leave His words. They leave their church. They leave the people that God gave them to wrap their arms around them. They just take off. Well, I can't. I'm too busy. I'm too this. I'm too that. I got this trial. I got that struggle. And I just can't really serve Jesus. That's not what Jesus said. You go and serve me. And love me and learn from me, and I will guarantee you will have peace. Peace. Third thing, and these are all related. Peace comes from leaning on Jesus. Look at verse 27. Ah, what a great verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Take 15 minutes a day and let your heart be troubled. No. Never, ever let your heart be troubled. Never, ever, ever let your heart be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And the first part of verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you. What? What? We have a couple of our men in our church whom God has touched their heart to go serve Him. You know, and I got to be honest with you, part of me loves that. Part of me don't like it too well. You know why? I don't want them to go, you know. Lord, are you sure about this? Jesus was getting ready to go, and He's telling these men, it is better if I go. How can it be better if I go? In verse 28, He's saying, you'd love me and you'd rejoice because I'm leaving. This is an unalterable and the very best plan for me to leave you, and you need to rejoice. However, I'm going to give you something. Ooh, cool. Don't you like to get stuff? Isn't it fun? I'm going to give you something. And that's when He says, I'm leaving. I'm going to give you my peace. Peace. Now, I thought about this. I was out running and I thought of this. It's amazing what you think of when you're out running. Picture yourself. You have a rich relative. I mean rich. Unbelievably rich. And he lived to be like 99 and passed away. Lived a great life. So you get a call, you know, you go to the funeral and you get a note from the lawyer that says, please be in my office on such and such a date at such and such a time. We're going to read the will. And your mind's just going, wow, what's it going to be? You know? And so you go in this room with all your cousins and brothers and sisters and his wife and all these things. And you're just sitting there and one after another, the lawyer says, cousin Bill, so-and-so has left you $5 million. Woo, $5 million. Goes to cousin Susie and nephew and on down the line. Your name hasn't been called yet. And by now, and his sons and daughters are getting like $20 million apiece. Right now, your mind's what? Oh, baby. I loved him. I'm so sorry he's dead. I really am. Come on now. And your mind begins to think, what am I going to get? $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $20 million? He really loved me. I could get 30 million. I'm going to pay this off, pay this off. I'm going to buy a bigger house, a bigger car. I'm going to get a Corvette, a blue one, a red one, a yellow one. Your brain's just, I'm going to build Living Hope, the most awesome church with a fish tank in the foyer and, you know, waterfalls coming down, and give Pastor Tim hair implants, and we're going to do it. But wouldn't your mind be, come on, yeah, I would be, you know, yeah, I did love him, but oh my goodness, my goodness. I'm not just going to buy a Christmas tree. I'm going to buy a forest. My own Christmas tree forest. And finally, the lawyer gets to your name. Oh, man, you can hardly take it. You're just, oh, contain, contain, contain. I, Uncle so-and-so, bequeath to my nephew, Tim Garrett, peace. Yes, sir. I'm Tim. Could you read that again? Yes. I, Uncle So-and-so, bequeath to my nephew, Tim Garrett, peace. Now, right away, your mind's thinking, hey, maybe peace is the name of a country. He's giving me a country. Maybe. No, it's peace. Now, what are you thinking right now? The guy sitting next to you's got 20 million. The girl sitting next to you's got 15 million. And you get peace. Now, let's take it a step further. What's that ride home in the car like with your wife? That bum of an uncle. He never did like me. And I find it amazing here that Jesus, who owned it all, he didn't say, I'm going to leave you and give you a bunch of brand new fishing boats. Because you're fishermen, right? I'm going to give you my peace. I would imagine all of us would be pretty upset about that. Gee, at least you could have given me $100. Go out to eat. I get peace. Would you be honest today and would your answer be, I'd rather have something than peace? You know, in recent days, we've seen professional ball players, some of which didn't have as much money as, you know, maybe when the 70s, 80s rolled around, but many of them did, had millions and millions, famous, popular, had mansions and cars, everything you could want. But what's happened to them? They're losing their mind. They're losing their memories. They're losing their ability to walk. Why? You get beaten in the head so often, what's going to happen to you? And some have even killed themselves. Do you think today some of those would trade all that money and all that fortune for peace or to have their mind back? I think they would. And Jesus didn't offer them vineyards or land or fishing boats or places or livestock or gold or silver. This is his bequeathing, if that's a word. I'm leaving, and I'm giving you peace. Wow. Pretty important, isn't it? Peace, peace. Jesus knew that these men needed peace. We went over to Barry and Joanne's last night and watched one of his presentations, and I want him to come and do with us, for us and our teenagers sometime. But in that presentation, there was a song that was sung. They called all of the person's awards and accolades in life an empire of dirt. Isn't that what it is, really? An empire of dirt. Things that don't last are an empire of dirt. Jesus knew, I'm not giving you an empire of dirt. I'm giving you something that'll be with you every step of the way as you serve me and you start the new covenant work of the gospel. Let me briefly, before we get to the last point, explain peace, if that's possible. The Hebrew and Greek meanings were the same, but a little bit different variants to them. Basically, peace means a wholeness. Let me ask this. When you're not at peace, do you feel put together? Kind of like what you look like when you get out of bed in the morning? Peace means being put together. when all essential parts are put together. That's peace. It also is used in all the Bible for absence of war, absence of strife, the messianic state of a peaceful rule, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, of his government there'll be no end. He's the Prince of Peace. It became a greeting. What do we say? We say, hey, how you doing? Right? What's going on? Hey, what's happening? Right? Back then they said, peace be to you. In fact, if you read how many times Jesus saw his disciples, especially after his resurrection, what did he say? Peace be to you. Peace be to you. It became a greeting. It came to mean right relationships with each other. It came to mean security, safety, prosperity. It was bringing together Jew and Gentile in Ephesians 2. He has broken down every wall, his peace. It became known as salvation, peace with God through the sacrifice of Jesus, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus. It also became known to the Christian community as a tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Is that you? I have peace with God through Jesus, and I am simply content where he put me. Really? Are you really content with where he put you? Am I? Are you really content that he didn't give you vineyards and boats and cars and millions of dollars, but he gave you a 9-to-5 or a 7-to-3 job making minimum wage, and each week you barely make it? The tranquil state of a soul assured of his salvation and content of its earthly lot. Whatever, see, how's it? It is well with my soul? I forget the words now. Anyway, whatever you're going to get, be at peace, right? It's well. It's well. And Jesus is saying here, I want you to move ahead and serve me. That's my peace. You know what's interesting? If you read the Christmas story, how many people's hearts were troubled? Matthew 2, Herod was troubled. Luke 1, Zechariah was troubled. Mary was troubled. Luke 1, Luke 2, the shepherds were afraid and troubled. Just trouble, trouble, trouble. And here is being sent the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. But notice quickly, verse 27. This is not a peace as the world gives. Not peace, not as the world gives do I give to you. So what's that tell us, class? That the world is offering us what? A fake peace. And the world's peace offerer is also called the father of what? Lies and a murderer from the beginning. So put those together. Jesus says, what I'm giving you is not as the world gives, the prince and the power of the air, Satan. Not that kind of peace. He is the father of lies. He is the darkness, the leader of darkness. You see, the world offers us peace that is fleeting and superficial, that draws us away from Jesus. Jesus offers us real peace in every tribulation that controls our heart so it's not afraid and not troubled, and it never, never ends. And we move ahead serving him with that peace. You know, there are so many times in people's lives, if I could reach in and take away your troubles, I would like that. How many times over the years somebody's been sitting across from me and I just wanted to reach over and, you know, and all of a sudden their problems are gone? Oh, if I could only take away their troubles. God taught me something. That's wrong. What did Jesus say here? In the world you'll have tribulation. But I've said these things, so in the tribulation, in the waterfall, you have peace right smack dab in the middle of the trouble. But humanly, I just want to get you out of the trouble, right? Get you out of the trouble. And I could go one by one, I could go through our room today and mention your name and what you're going through. Man, I'm telling you, I would in a heartbeat. 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 Take it away. Take your pain away. Why? Because wrong thinking says, that's the only way you can be happy. That's the only way you can have peace. That everything works out good. And the Lord says, Tim, why do I put up with your nonsense? And he's teaching me that's not true. You have peace in the midst of the storm. And Satan offers us a temporary and superficial
fake peace. Where it's in a thing. If I can just get that thing, I can have peace. It's in an event.
I do great when there's an event like Christmas, but boy, once Christmas is over, right? Taking down this stupid tree. Shouldn't have even put it up. Right? Been there? Who put these lights around this house? I just got to take them down. Sometimes our peace is found in another person. Will they let you down? Will you let them down sometime? Yeah. Don't put your peace in another person. A sensual pleasure. A want fulfilled. Your team winning. A child doing well. I can only have peace if my child... You just fill in your blank. Can you have peace if your child's not an A student? Yes. Oh, you just be quiet. <That's>, in case you didn't know, that's my mom. I got an A in running and trumpet. I'm pretty proud of that. Not wrong to have an A student. We need those. I need somebody to do surgery on people. Sometimes it's in favorable circumstances, everything going my way. I just can't have that deep peace in the Hebrew, unless everything goes my way. Real peace from Jesus doesn't need things to change. Did you get that? Did I get that? Real peace does not need to have things change. Do you know that all over this room today, and in your house and as you drive, there are airwaves that have all kinds of signals in them? TV signals and internet signals, they're there. They're there. How do you get them? Type in the right password to our Wi-Fi here, right? Tune in the channel on your radio. They're already there. You don't hit the channel on your radio and somebody, Evansville, Indiana, Greenleaf Drive, they've tuned in to channel 105.1. We need a signal. We need a signal. It's already there, isn't it? Whatever you tie into just snatches it out of the air. Listen, look what we got here. My peace I'm leaving with you. That which has protected me, Jesus says, I'm giving to you. Did you catch that? I give. It's there. We just don't take it. Whether you avail of it or not, it's there. It's a gift from God. All right, real quickly, last one. Peace comes from Jesus laboring. Look at verse 30. 30b. The ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. Whoa. Wow. You mean to tell me that I can have peace and the prince of darkness is coming? And all those disciples are going to run away from Jesus when they're beating him and killing him. And that's what's about to happen. They are really close to that happening. Just a few hours away. And Jesus says, he's coming. The ruler of this world, Satan, is coming. But I do as the Father has commanded me. I am obeying and doing what the Father has commanded me amidst the tribulation, amidst Satan, the prince of darkness, coming and attacking and targeting me. And I guarantee you, these disciples are going to face that as well. Peace when targeted. In fact, jump to verse 33 of chapter 16 again. I have said all these things to you, that in me, not the world, but in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have it. But take heart. I've overcome this world. Satan is coming. I'm going to defeat him on the cross. Genesis 3:15. In fact, you see both things in Genesis 3:15. Satan bruising Jesus' heel and Jesus crushing his head in verses 30 and 31. Satan's coming. I've overcome him on the cross. And I love this part here. Jesus says, he, Satan, has no claim on me. The Greek is nothing. The Greek is, he has nothing, no one, nada, nothing on me. No exceptions.
Satan has no claim on Jesus. Satan cannot give Jesus a charge of any sin. Jesus is being completely obedient with the Father, and he is obeying and serving in peace. And I use the word laboring because oftentimes the Bible says serving Jesus is like laboring with a child, where it's painful and it hurts. But boy, when that baby pops out, man, look at this baby. Wow. And in about an hour, you're going, let's do it again. Well, 2 hours. Okay, a week. Okay, adopt next time. But what he's saying is there's joy when you brought a human being into the world, and Jesus is going to labor with all of his heart. I do as my Father has commanded me. By the way, that's why he died. Number one reason why he died, I think, is because his Father asked him to. And yes, he loved us and provided the way for salvation. That's why. And I think Jesus is saying to these men, it's going to look like it's over. You know, you might be here today saying, boy, my life, it looks like it's over. Man, it just looks like it's over. Jesus is looking at these men he loved. And I believe Judas Iscariot has left at this point to go do what he's going to do. He loved them. And I think he's saying to them, I know it looks like it's over. I know it's going to look like that we got beat. I know it's going to look like the enemy has won. I know your whole world's going to come crashing down as you see me beaten and killed. But I'm going to do as the Father told me. And you, John 16:33, can have the very same peace I have because I'm giving it to you, because you're going to face tribulation as well. I love 1 John 5:4-5. Everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, let's land this here plane. Today, would you describe yourself as that little bird on that nest? Right smack dab in the middle of the storm. These disciples were ready to face a world that hated their Lord and hated them, and they would suffer for it. Boy, did they change. Didn't they change, though? Bold and courageous and martyred and burned in oil and hung upside down and banished to an island in prison. But they had peace. Would you describe yourself as a servant of Jesus in this wicked world of tribulation, in a little nest, and the storms are all around you, the water, but your eyes are closed and you're just at peace? Peace. Or would you say you're more of unsettled, troubled, agitated, overly concerned about the affairs of this world, to the point where you always worry, always filled with fear and strife, rarely serve? Peace only comes through Jesus' sacrifice and your repentance and trust in Jesus. I am nothing. My only hope is Jesus. That's it. He died for me. That's peace. He has reconciled this rotten, evil sinner to where I can go into the holy presence of God. When he died, the veil was ripped from top to bottom, signifying we walk right into the Holy of Holies, Jesus. And he forgives us and brings us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son, kingdom of light. He is our Lord and Savior. It is only through Jesus. Stop trying to work your way to have God love you. Stop trying to work your way to have God have favor with you. Stop trying to dress a certain way, do a certain thing. If I don't read my Bible today, I'm going to get whacked. You know, who are we to think that we can please deity and earn something from deity? But we do those things because I love you. That's what Jesus was saying. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace on a daily basis that comes from the gift of Jesus? It's there. It's available. One scholar said it is a hearty acceptance of his principles and his spirit. I mean, I just want to pose some questions and then we'll pray. Would you ask yourself this morning, where else are you going to find peace? Jesus says the world has a peace it gives. Where else do you go to find peace? Whitney had a big interview this week at her job and kind of nervous about it. Who wouldn't be? So then she texted me and said, hey, it's over or something like that. And I said something like, hey, just trust God, sit back and relax now. Relax. You ever relax in Jesus? Wow. I want to be there. Right? But we go to other places to find it, right? Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That love relationships with a thankful heart. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that will surpass all your understanding will guard or keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. So where are you going to find peace? What Savior are you going to save you other than Jesus? What do we spend more time doing than pursuing Jesus, the giver of peace? Keep a log this week. Log your time on Facebook compared to your time in the words of Jesus. Compare your time on the computer searching this, that, and the other with your times having the words of Jesus get in your heart. I'm blessed. I get paid to study God's book. I'm blessed. I remember those days when I had to be at work at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., fueling airplanes, and sometimes getting home at 6, 7, 8. I had to be more disciplined to make time. I get paid now. It's easy for me. Although some preachers get paid and they don't do that. But thankfully God didn't put that in my heart. What do you spend more time doing? I'm not saying it's wrong to get on your computer or attack book or complain book or whatever you call Facebook or information book. Not wrong. Not wrong at all. I enjoy listening to people and hearing prayer requests and stuff. Things can be a blessing. But sometimes they can pull us away from the giver of peace. Another question. Have we believed the lie that all has to be well in order to have peace? Ooh. Here's another question. Do you have to be in control of everything so bad that you rarely ever have peace? I've got to be in control. I've got to be in control. Has anybody mastered that? What a blessing it is just to sit back and say, I don't have to be in control. I have a shepherd that's in control. He loves me. He cares for me. Do you live in fear because you just don't believe God knows what he's doing? He has the power to accomplish it. Lord, 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 can I have a moment with you? Everybody else got millions of dollars and you give me peace. And Jesus is saying, listen, that's what you need. God, you blew it in my life. You ever feel like throwing a temper tantrum as a child of God? Why, God? Just a couple more. Do you fill your mind with everything but what God wants in there? Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, honorable, just, think on those things. Have you forgotten that for now God's kingdom is established in the hearts of individuals through a relationship of love? Or do you want his kingdom set up now, your way, now? Right? Now. That's me. Now. I want microwave spirituality. Now. Got it. I want my wife to be as I want her to be. Now. Now the Lord says, oh my goodness, you're right. Hey. Want my kids perfect, Lord? Now. Not when you come and you make everything perfect, but now. We're all guilty, aren't we? The last little question. Have we truly devoted our life to serve our King? That's what Jesus was saying to these disciples.
believing, trusting in the peace that assures us that we are in the right way, and serving Jesus with the gospel in the new covenant gospel is absolutely the right way to order our lives. That's what he's saying to these men. But not in perfectness of everything, but in tribulation. Right smack dab in the middle of the kingdom of darkness. So Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you live in, you are going to have tribulation, but you take heart." Why? I beat the world. I nikao, victory. I have overcome this world. Serve me. It's the right way. Father, oh wow, what a truth. What a truth. And Lord, we saw these men take the gospel in a world of tribulation. Wow. And change the world through your Spirit. Father, this is a hard world. But you sent Jesus as that babe to grow and to serve and to give us peace. I pray for those in our church who are struggling with peace. And they're living for others. You're not the God of their life. Their job's the God of their life. Their family's the God of their life. Their money's the God of their life. Their reputation's the God of their life. And we've just lost loving you. Convict those hearts today. Maybe that's all of us. God, for those today that might be here and they're just in turmoil, their hearts in knots, may your Spirit walk close beside them and help them just to bow and humble themselves and say, "Lord, here's my life. You're in charge. You're in control. You saved me. You changed my position that I am now your child. Oh God, help me to walk with you and to experience the tranquil state of serving you as my king when it seems like my life is falling apart. You're always there, accomplishing your purpose." Father, if there's one here today that's never come to the cross, they're at odds with you. You're angry with them. Your wrath is ready to be poured out on them. Give them the gift of faith. Help them to humble themselves and say, "Jesus is my only hope. He is my only peace and salvation." God, as we sing, burden our hearts, change us, grow us. And thank you for giving us the greatest gift of all. Peace with you and peace every day. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.